Evening, members. Welcome to the Finance Corporate Services Committee. First item on the agenda is Chairman's notices. Please be aware that the meeting is being recorded in sound and CCTV. In the event of a fire alarm, leave by the nearest exit. Don't take anything with you. Health and safety, be aware of different levels in the council chamber. Apologies for absence, there are none. We have a full house. Minutes of the last meeting. Are those who were present?
Agreed.
There are, thank you, Councillor Fluker. Agreed?
Agreed,
right. Disclosures of interest. Anybody got any disclosures of interest? Please identify what agenda item the interest relates to. Any? No? Right. No members of the public present for public participation. Review of performance agenda item 6. Has everybody managed to get that on there?
Page 9 of modern.gov.
Everybody got that?
Yeah.
Okay.
For anybody that's not on modern.gov, this information is all available as a pack on the internet page now. If anybody's not on modern.gov and wants to download electronically, it's on our website. Okay,
right.
Review of performance, page 9. So this is an exception report which looks at quarter 4 and full year performance for the areas that report into this committee. The Appendix 1 on page 13 shows the actual report, and in the summary document and the covering report, there is also the information on customer feedback. To take the Appendix 1, so we need to all go to page 13. On the whole, the majority of the goals and the reports that come into this committee are all either on track or completed. And therefore, because it's an exception report, the detail of those aren't given. And you'll see that in the tables, as you go through, you'll see on track and completed having numbers in. There are, however, two key exceptions which sit in our Service Delivery Directorate, and that's on page 18. And they are the time taken to process. So the first one is the average rate of return on treasury investments, which were the target was received. So it was 1.5% was the target and 1.8% was the average investment performance. So that target was received. Time taken to process housing benefit council tax support new claims. The cumulative for the year was 28.63 days. For quarter four, 24.13 days. And that was against a target of 15 days. Now, there is some information given in the report as to why that wasn't received, but I have also received some information from Ms. Green, which I will give you tonight to explain where we were. The first point, I think, is that we had universal credit implemented in the year, and that has meant that all of the cross-checking that our officers have to do cannot be done in the way that it used to, and we have to go through one service centre, which is much more time-consuming. So the average rate nationally has increased to 20 days. We are still above that rate, but the average rate is now 20 days for 18-19, so we are 28.63. The other thing to consider is that it's the performance in quarter one and quarter two which was worst. And those days aren't provided here, but as you can see, quarter three was 20.5, quarter four was 24.13, and because the cumulative was 28.63, this was really pushed by the first two quarters. And the first two quarters, the issues was that the core systems were unavailable from the year before, which then meant that the year-end processes were completed late, which then meant there was a backlog in claims. So universal credit, the backlog in claims, which couldn't be done straight away at the end of the year and had to be done in April, which then impacted in the first two quarters, and then also we've had approximately a 30% staff vacancy rate in that year, in the year in that area as well. That will be addressed through the full council transformation model, and new roles are now out to advert and are being applied for. So that's the council tax housing benefit new claims data. The next one, which is on there, which is also on page 18, is the percentage of business rates collected. The target is 98%. We achieved 97.95%, so down by 0.05%. That's actually due to one of our largest rate occupiers, and there's been a dispute with them which is related to non-payment. I won't give the details in public session as to what that one is, but it's one large, very significant building within the district which has pushed that over to 97.95, and the average collection rate for Essex districts is 98, so we're just tracking below that by 0.05%. So that's the explanation for that one. So those are the two key areas on this exception report which haven't performed to target. So I've highlighted that and the reasons. In addition, you will see the customer feedback on page... You just go to the correct page 9, I think, or page 10. That summarises the total number of complaints and compliments. You will see that revenues and benefits have a higher number of complaints by one from the year before, and they've also received a higher number of compliments than in the year before as well. Otherwise, levels of compliments and complaints are not that indifferent. Other areas of the Resources Directorate don't tend to get a lot of either complaints or compliments. So happy to take any questions on the performance report to the end of March. The performance report to June will come to this meeting in September.
Right, we've been asked to review and comment on the report. Anybody with any questions? Councillor McTanner.
Thank you, Chairman. Page 10, customer feedback received and compliments and complaints. Ms. Foy, I'm sorry I'm going to raise this, but Director of Resources, it says there was one complaint in 1718. Was that the complaint you were dealing with or a complaint against the Director? And then who would deal with that ordinarily?
That was a complaint from a debtor, a sundry debtor,
yeah.
Which... I chased and received a complaint after I asked them to fill out a new form declaring their income. That complaint was dealt with by Richard Holmes.
Right. So it was something you were dealing with and then they decided to complain as part of that process.
Yeah. So it's dealt with by somebody else.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Any more questions on the report? Members accept the report?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Right. Agenda item 7. Annual report on the whistleblower policy.
Page 21,
Chair. Page 21, thank you.
So, page 21. We are required on an annual basis to report against our whistleblowing policy, which is there to provide a procedure for employees to disclose any concerns around malpractice by a colleague or counsellor, assuring them that they've got no discrimination and providing them with a route to be able to report any concerns. So in the last financial year, consistent with the year before, there were no whistleblower concerns raised under that policy, but we are still required to report a new report each year. So that's why that is coming to this committee.
Thank you. We're asked to note the report. Is that noted?
Noted.
Thank you. Agenda item 8, the strategic and financial planning process.
So now we need to go to page 23. So this report comes each June, July time and it sets out the timetable for our budget setting at Maldon District Council. So it runs through the setting of our budget, which will start on the 1st of April 2021. Within the report, on page 23, we show the savings that we are required to find over the medium-term financial strategy over the next 3 years. So 2021 is 739, 21, 22, 271, and 22, 23, 82. Now, we have our full council transformation in place, and the savings forecast from that deliver 2021 savings, 21-22 the majority of, and 22-23 savings. However, this information is not perfect because it's based on what we know at the moment and not based either on any growth items that come from any departments or from members or any changes to our funding that we currently receive from central government. So not that we receive funding, but the allowance we get to keep from our business rates. So if the central government was to potentially say we weren't allowed to charge for a service or cap our charges, then potentially the net funding gap would grow. So at the moment, 2021, providing full council transformation delivers its savings, is balanced, and providing we don't decide that we are going to do anything additional to what we are currently doing. So that is where we are. And also, if members were to decide, for example, to cut council tax or to not increase council tax by a level assumed, then in which case, again, we would have a budgetary gap which we would need to find. Page 25 is the appendix, and that sets out the programme and timing for each element of the budget. So we are starting now to have meetings around potential housing development trajectory. So what that means is we're trying to find out, you know, what our council tax level will be for next financial year. We're also meeting soon to discuss asset management, to discuss any required maintenance or additional repairs or replacements that will be required. Then we start to look at our fees and charges policy, and we then move into the summer and into the autumn with A, providing guidance to our directors and managers, but also providing regular updates and doing budget seminars. So there will be a budget seminar for the Conservative group and a budget seminar for the Independents. I think the budget seminar for the Conservative group, I think we've got a date. I think we're waiting for Councillor Hurd, and he'll give us a date for the other one as well. And that will be where you have the opportunity to understand what our savings plans currently are, what our requirements are, and then you can ask questions about what you may wish to include in your strategy. We don't discuss strategy between groups, we keep it within the groups. Then we move through the growths, fees and charges and savings, and they will come through the new committee structure in the autumn, ready for the budget statement, which is supposed to be received in November, confirmation from central government, and then we go after Christmas to set the final budget fees and charges with full council in February to do the final council tax setting. So that's the process. That's detailed here with these dates. And this is what we work towards, so you know when different things are coming to different meetings. So that is that. I'm happy to take any questions.
We've been asked to approve the Appendix 1. Any questions? Councillor Hagen.
Thank you, Chair. Just, I probably know the answer to this, but what's the thinking behind both groups looking at the budget independently of each other?
Because the administration will propose the budget to full council, and it will be up to the opposition, as it were, if they either wish to object, put an alternative budget forward. So, you know, you're going to have different budget policy potentially. So you're going to want to work within your groups to start setting up your budget policy, finding out, you know, you may have decided that you want to add in a new service or take away a service, and you'll need those costings. But you probably want to keep that a bit confidential from the other side at that point in time while you're still working it up.
Is that okay? Right, so you approve Appendix 1. Thank you. Right, now, no other items of business that I consider to be urgent. Exclusion of the press and public. resolved that under section 100A4 of the Local Government Act 1972, the public be excluded from the meeting for the following item of business on the grounds that it involves the likely disclosure of exempt information as defined in paragraph 3 of part 1 of schedule 12A to the Act, and this satisfies the public interest test. And the item is the lease of land adjacent to Morden District Council offices.
Agreed.
Agreed.